This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. And yesterday, Eric Holder, the U.S. Attorney General, Prosecutor in Chief of the United States, you might say, weighed in on the George Zimmerman verdict, the possibility of new federal charges in the Trayvon Martin shooting, and he criticized Florida's Stand Your Ground laws.
It's time to question laws that senselessly expand the concept of self-defense and sow dangerous conflict in our neighborhoods. These laws try to fix something that was never broken.
It was a wide-ranging speech before the NAACP in Orlando, Florida, yesterday. Holder also restated a commitment by the Justice Department to maintain vigilance on voting rights even after the recent Supreme Court decision striking down the formula for monitoring certain districts with a history of voting rights abuses.
The Justice Department will continue to monitor jurisdictions around the country for any changes that may hamper voting rights. We will not hesitate to take aggressive action against any jurisdiction that attempts to take advantage of the Supreme Court's ruling by hindering eligible citizens' free and fair exercise of the franchise.
But unless Congress acts, the Justice Department's hands are tied somewhat, and Chief Justice Roberts invited Congress to take action in his opinion on the Voting Rights Act last month. Our country has changed, he wrote, and while any racial discrimination in voting is too much, Congress must ensure that the legislation it passes to remedy that problem speaks to current conditions. The Senate Judiciary Committee holds hearings today on just such congressional remedies. Joining us now is Heather Gerken, professor at Yale Law School, where she specializes in election law. She joins us from her home in New Haven. Welcome, Professor.
Thank you for having me.
So what should we look for in this Senate hearing in terms of gauging Congress's seriousness in actually trying to take Chief Justice Roberts at his word and come up with a new formula?
Well, my guess is what we'll see in the hearings is an effort to show that this is something that ought to have bipartisan support. So you notice that the two lead witnesses are Congressman John Lewis, who is, of course, a civil rights icon, and Congressman Sensenbrenner, who was the Republican who pushed through the renewal of the Voting Rights Act in 2006. So I'm assuming that the main focus here will be that we can do this in a bipartisan fashion and that this is something that ought to matter to all Americans.
So you've got Lewis and Sensenbrenner depicting this sort of bipartisanship, which is essential for any serious action to happen here. And a lot of people after the Supreme Court decision really thought serious action was dubious because there could be no bipartisanship. So we'll see that in the first panel before the hearing. But what of some of the other folks who might be speaking on more technical issues that could really show the way forward?
So this is showing the way forward is the great puzzle here. I mean, Chief Justice Roberts invited Congress to do something, but I think Chief Justice Roberts must have been well aware of how hard it is for Congress to do something, because the things that are most likely to be constitutional are the least likely to be politically palatable in this highly polarized Congress. So we'll see if Congress has it in it to figure out something that will both satisfy Chief Justice Roberts and get enough votes for passage.
One of the issues was if you discriminate against certain areas of the country, it's a non-starter for certain members of Congress who aren't going to go for something like that. But could you create a rule which basically says anybody who changes any election rule has to get judicial certification for that, basically make it a 50-state kind of solution?
I think that you could apply this across to 50 states, but my guess is that you couldn't do something as substantial as what existed before. Before, under Section 5, particular jurisdictions had to ask permission of the Department of Justice every single time they changed any voting rule. So that meant something as simple as changing the polling place hours or moving a polling place from one place to another had to be what's called pre-cleared with the Justice Department. And I think that the court would be very reluctant to allow Congress to impose that on all the states. I think that they would find it to be a different kind of violation of federalism, not one of discriminating between the states, which is what they were worried about this round, but of simply putting too heavy a burden. I've proposed, however, a nationwide coverage formula that would be much less burdensome on the states. So it wouldn't require the states to seek permission every time they wanted to make a change, but it would allow civil rights groups and representatives of racial minorities to essentially put in a complaint with the Department of Justice whenever they thought there was a problem.
Like a pre-clearance challenge that you could do before an election. Heather Gerken, thanks so much. Heather Gerken is a professor at Yale Law School, where she specializes in election law. Thanks to her. And the hearing at the Judiciary Committee takes place today.